I finally met the man from whose home the violin music came. He had recently moved here, the cost of living in a rural area allowing him to start his own business. He works from a shop behind his home where he lives with his wife. He looked so familiar to me, and I couldn't figure out why until he mentioned a cousin coming to visit. His cousin was my geeky friend David from college. That explains the resemblance. I told him when his cousin comes to town, let me know, and I'd have the three of them over for dinner. David and I were still good friends, but we had both been so busy we'd not talked much since graduation. Though he and I took a lot of science classes together, he changed his major to computer science, finding he had a gift for designing computer programs. He is still up in Chicago, likely working from home on his computer, developing things I couldn't run without adult supervision. Computers aren't my strength, but I have so enjoyed making these entries every few nights. He has started on what will be a great career, and that he can do it from home most of the time is even better. It'd be fun to see him again. My old boyfriend hadn't even sent a Christmas card. He was the one who wanted something less serious, and I was hoping we could remain friends, but apparently not. I still heard from some of my city friends, though not as often. My neighbor Evelyn's niece Jan and I had taken an outing to Chicago one warm, sunny weekend, so I had one friend my age. Evelyn also mentioned an elderly gentleman that I'd seen out in walks. Not the one with the dog, but the one that always wears a hat no matter what the weather. She said his name was Harry, and he had no family. He loved books, but his eyesight wasn't good enough to read. He would love it if I could come over some evenings and read to him. I totally get it about not having family, and I told her I'd do that. Being the only female currently working for the police department as an officer, the previous one having retired, I'm careful in the community to try and set a good example. I avoid the town's only pub except to eat lunch with one of the other officers, though Evelyn and I will still sometimes have a little glass of wine with our dinners. Being an officer in a small town is different from the urban environment. We know the citizens here, and they know our families, and they know us. In the city, the respect might be given to the uniform, but here it's given to the individual, and that respect must be earned. So I'm sensitive to how I dress and act, just as I'm sensitive to the fears and concerns of the people that share this community with me. I'm careful about where I go and ensure that how I speak is a credit to the department and my church family. I'm becoming more comfortable here, less bored and less wanting to head to Chicago to meet up with young people that want to do more partying than living. There's no movie theater. There's no Starbucks. The only grocery store has a pickle barrel and an old-fashioned butcher and a collection of freshly baked goods every day. The hardware store is off the square in a little shop, and the manager seems to have forgiven me for giving him a ticket, though there's been no further mention of a date. I like the place. No matter what you need, you can simply state it, and the owner somehow, out of all the rows and rows and racks of things, knows exactly where it is. After the hardware store, I'll stop in at the little Italian place with no tables, only a counter where you can walk in and walk out with a slice of homemade pizza as big as a hat, made by the owner's grandmother. Then you can eat it, or one of the Italian ices, as you wander off the square by the little library into one of the older neighborhoods, exploring the heart of this place. The ancient map makers would put on an unexplored region, "There be dragons." But on the quiet edge of town spaces, there were only the watchful eyes of a gargoyle that holds his breath. There's an old, old church, a small graveyard behind, an angel holding a book in her hand, a Bible, perhaps, or just a book with a single line that says, "There be ghosts." I move away in hushed silence, treading softly on the hard, patient earth. A few blocks away is the pub, on the wall of which is a wooden woman that once grazed the bow of a clipper ship. Now she watches out the window for the train that stops outside that might be bringing her an errant sailor. No one has huge houses or lots, and the neighbors know who you are, even if their houses aren't feet away. Some keep to themselves for the most part, but they all watch your back. They know when you're gone, so they'll come over and shovel your driveway so it looks like your home, a chocolate cake making its way back by way of thanks. Most of the houses have big porches. At night, now that spring is here, when everyone is home from work, we'll gather to barbecue in our driveways. Then I will sit on my wide porch as an iced tea is tipped to a passing neighbor, looking through the branched intervals overhead as the finishing of light fades from the zenith of the darkening skies. This is a working-class town, and just as we know the satisfaction of caring of our own, we relish these times we can just sit back. It's a small place that most city dwellers would pass by, turning up their gourmet noses at the diner that has the cow on the roof, but we do climb up there and put a pretty scarf on him for Easter. It's a place where churches are packed on the weekend with more retired farmers and military folks and their families than you'd ever meet elsewhere. This is a town where men came home from 4 years away from family and decent food, fighting a great war for that hard, patient ground that they could wait, assured it would eventually claim them, fighting so they could return with that gravitational pull to the place they were born, to raise a family and eventually rest in that ground that was their home. What I have here is not fancy, but it is becoming beautiful to me. It is becoming my truth. These are not words I use trivially, that by doing so easily deprives them of not just their force, but their dignity. What I have here, what is contained in these walls, is not just antique books and old tools, but that which lives and breathes, that I wish to keep.